Okay. This is the 8th of April, 1954. We have a great deal of ground to cover in terms of processes. You should first know that processes are methods of codifying experience so that the key experiences of the individual may be discharged or put within the control of his knowingness. The key experiences of this experience called life. What are the aberrative factors of life? Is life itself completely aberrative? Is there any way to, you might say, beat it? Is there any way to lick this thing called life? Well, that's quite a thing to undertake, really. All in a few minutes, sit down with some pre-clear and go bang, 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 and he feels better. Remember, this individual, at least so far as we can trace on an e-meter, has been about 76 trillion years on a track. He's had experience after experience after experience after experience. He's been through things they wouldn't dare film or describe anywhere. And yet, we have the total conceit of, in using a few words, of attempting to resolve his wobbliness, his inabilities, his incapacities, which have resulted from these experiences. Now just look at that a moment. That's quite a quite a thing to do. It's even impudent to fly in the face of all existence, sit down with somebody and say, yop, 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 and this other person does so and so and so and so and so and so, and all of a sudden they feel better about existence. Well, to envision the fact this could be done would have to be a pretty mighty vision anyhow. The truth of the matter is it can be done, and it is being done. Now, we have a totally mechanical problem confronting us when we look at pre-clear. When I say we have a totally mechanical problem, it's because all that is wrong with him is mechanical. What is wrong with him is the mechanical aspect of existence. This individual has become dependent upon the mechanics of existence to carry him forward somehow or another to some unknown destination he knows not what of. This is the way he looks at it. He's totally dependent upon a society, a civilization, upon a body, upon his eyesight, upon his charm, personality, his education, and somehow or other he's going to manage to get through. By doing what? By being totally dependent in all directions and self-determined on almost none. We discover that an individual is at his best when he is best self-determined. What is self-determined? Well, in terms of this society, it could be grouped as survival. He does things which will cause him to survive. That would be a self-determined action in the view, you might say, of the society itself. But that is not really a totally self-determined action because it is modified by the fact that he is being asked to survive. Well, the funny part of it is he can't do anything else. It's utterly impossible for this pre-clear to do anything but survive. The artificiality is that he may cease to survive. He believes that he can cease to survive. He has himself identified with objects, the structure or form of which can be destroyed. He's identified with a body. A body can age or be killed or die. And so he conceives himself capable of aging or dying. Well, this is an identification with something that something can happen to. Nothing can happen to the pre-clear. This is really the background fact of why processing works. The secret of the meshed universe is contained in these processes. The secret of it is contained herein. The main secret of it is that there is no secret. It is chimerical, no matter what its great, massive magnificence is. It is totally chimerical. Only if it were totally chimerical could you ever resolve a case. If it really did possess the tremendous solidity that it pretends to possess, you would never resolve a case, let me assure you. You would find yourself balked by so many trillion, trillion, trillion factors just in everyday livingness that it would have to be lived in order to be processed. Now, there is a process or two which depend upon livingness. You can live a different way and be better off. But you know something funny? Those are very limited processes. Those are extremely limited. They go, that is to say, to a very limited distance. All right, if your wife makes you unhappy, leave her. Be happier. I mean, that's environmental processing. Doesn't mean the individual's really going to be any better off at all, does it? So it's odd that the business of livingness itself is not a process, unless it is immediately and intimately coupled with thinkingness, which is to say, thought itself. If you couple livingness with thought, it becomes more livable. But if you address thought, the impulse to create, the impulse to destroy, the ability of the individual to make postulates, why, then and there, and only then and there, are you able to resolve a case. You are dealing with a problem wherein all the solidities are actually chimerical, and where the only actuality really has no mass, no space, and no energy connected with it. If an auditor keeps this in mind, he will not then go chasing down too many dead alleys and winding up with too many failures. He will not wind up in the soup if he just keeps that in mind. He is dealing with something that can think. That ability to think all by itself is what causes reality. An individual then can be processed simply because processes can be leveled at getting him to change his mind and values. Now, if he can, without recourse, too much recourse certainly, to the messed universe, to energy, space, time, matter, if he can be brought to change his mind, he can be then established on a new plane of beingness. Survival is the criterion as far as this society is concerned, but that is only part of a curve which begins with create, goes through survival, and comes over to destroy. The graph of that curve could be a simple curve of there is nothing, now there is something created, now it goes through a persistence, and that persistence itself dwindles, fades away, and disappears with a resulting nothingness. It is the curve itself which is at fault, the whole curve, the absolute necessity to create something, the tremendous necessity to destroy something, the obsession that one must not create something, the obsession that one must not destroy something, results in the obsession that one must not be created something, and one must not be destroyed when he is anything. And so on this curve of livingness in this universe, which runs from create through survive to destroy, we get changing illusion. The person achieves different conditions. Here's an interesting fact. Now let's just look at an old man. He is dodging around. He would tell you he has wasted his life to some degree. He won't have another chance. He has to act like an old man. He has to think like an old man. Let's throw him back down the time track. And next thing you know, you can have him thinking like a young boy. You can actually change that. Life itself changes that. Every once in a while, you'll find some very old man who has gone into a period of senility. And again, is a young boy. He's grabbing that new chance too soon. He hasn't gotten rid of the body yet, you see, but he's already anticipating going on with another body. Energy can age. Space can contract. Matter can alter its form. But the production unit, called the Thetan, does not age, does not change. A Thetan is a curious beast. He's a curious beast. He exists no place. He exists every place. And he can assume finite viewpoints of anything he wants to assume. He gets into a total agreement with everything around him and a belief that he must at all means, you know, stay in perfect agreement with his entire surroundings, that he mustn't alter these things, solely because the forms and spaces in which he exists themselves state continually that they're going to resist any alteration. A Thetan, by simply changing one postulate, which is, I am a body, to I am a life unit, exteriorizes from the dead. He changes one postulate, just like that. And away he goes. If you want to run past deaths on an E-meter, you will discover the individual is very, very concerned right up to the moment when the body is writhing and dying, and then all of a sudden he is about 100 feet above the body or 1,000 feet above the body, looking down at it, saying, well, why was I ever connected with that? Here is striving as long as there is any striving to be done. But the second, that it's obvious that there's no further striving to be done, we have somebody exteriorized. Now let's take a test on that. Is that true where the roughest case you will ever process is concerned? Is it true that this individual is surviving and will continue to survive after body death? Is this true? Yes, it is. You say to this individual, be 3 feet back of your head. Mm-mm. You say, run this, do this, do that. Mm-mm. No change. Well, this individual is hugging down to the center of that survival curve, that create, survive, destroy curve. He is drawn way in from destroy. He is drawn way in from create. In other words, he's middle curving it. And the tighter he gets to the center, the more he's going to persist in that form. And you're not going to get him exteriorized. You're not going to get him changed. You're not going to get him any better. Because he knows, if he knows nothing else, that he's only a body and that he will die. He knows this. So I ran some clinical experiments on such people, and I made them very, very sick. I made them ghastly sick. So sick that they would have been very, very happy to have been dead. They promptly exteriorized, somewhat sadly. One of them was quite interesting. He was a fellow that nobody had ever been able to exteriorize, and this fellow exteriorized and went out and sat on a bellboy, and he said, I could cry for 10,000 years. You've done this to me, and so forth, and he went out and sat on a bellboy and finally got interested in the pelican out there. And then he got interested in some sand, and he cruised around for a little while, and then finally, the body was lying there practically stone cold. And he finally came back and said, oh, the body isn't that sick. Yeah. Kicked it back to life again. Peculiar, huh? Well, this individual is playing the desperate side of existence. He's determined he's going to get on. He's in there crowding and crushing one way or the other. He has got himself totally identified with energy. He's running on a whole series of postulates. But remember, all you have to do to change a postulate is just to change a postulate. That's all you have to do. The postulates are not parked out on the time track. It is true that individuals have associated postulates with energy masses. But as soon as they exteriorize, they can alter these if they wish to. And if they themselves have not totally shut off a lot of knowingness. Now, why do they keep coming back into a body line? They keep coming back into a body line simply because it seems to be as much action and interest as there is. They have no other interest beyond this point. And so they get in there and they worry about bodies and they try to care for them and swamp them up and so on and so on and so on. Well, in view of this, one would think offhand then that there was really no point to processing if all you had to do was get somebody to change his mind. That's all you had to do, and he would get well, and there wasn't any point in making him change his mind anyhow. He wasn't going to go to hell. He wasn't going to go to heaven. He isn't going to... Well, there is a point in processing. And that point is that in this society, particularly, each one of us is influenced by the action and conduct of every other one of us. If you have ever had a stupid man on a laboring crew, your life was much less pleasant. If you have ever had a psychotic living in your house, you find out your life was that much less pleasant. If you have ever gone out into the society and found people who should be doing something sensible or something progressive or having a good time, doing terrible and arduous things and moping and groaning and fooling around, milling, you yourself would say, well, now look here, this can be better. I mean, we can have a little brighter color and we can have a more interesting future and so on. Well, let's reduce this down to the final limit. Here we have a planet. You know, planets are scarce. Have any idea of that? Planets are really quite scarce. This is not a very bountifully mattered up universe. People haven't agreed that there would be that many planets. And here we have a problem where you have a habitable planet, you have bodies, you have things squared around pretty well, they're not unlivable at all, and somebody's coming along saying, hey, let's just make nothing out of the whole thing. Let's just wipe it out and throw it away. In other words, let's wipe out and throw away all of the endeavor, all of the progress, all of the total agreements, and everything that thee and me have been doing here for the last many thousand years. We're just going to throw all this away, huh? Let's make it totally pointless. Of course, in final essence, it is a bit pointless. But if you've ever tried to sit on a pink cloud for 10,000 years, if you've ever sat in a theta trap, as some preclears have, for 18 or 20,000 years, doing nothing, with no goal, with nothing to do, with nothing to observe, without even the vaguest synthetic goal, you'll understand that it's quite interesting to have a playing field. Did you ever see a happy football team who had no stadium? Well, of course, the way to play football, according to governments and so forth, is to blow up the stadium. Well, of course, if you let neurosis and psychosis become the order, the agreed upon order of the day, if you let man stand back, completely balked by a life form known as bacteria, if you let sickness become the only agreed upon state, even to that degree you are throwing away the stadium. Now, if we went on to a further point and fixed it up so there was no air to breathe, I tell you, it's awful rough living as a ghost. If they blow off many more of those hydrogen bombs, there won't be any air to breathe. Well, I'm not kidding you there. The oxygen content of Earth is lessening at a great rate right now. Mostly because too much plant life has been wiped out. The deserts which have been growing, the Arab, for instance, in making the deserts of the Middle East, Belisarius and Justinian in their cute little action of making North Africa a desert. Did you know there was a military man who did that? North Africa's a mess right now. There was a beautiful little country once, all along the southern coast of the Mediterranean. Well, we won't go into history like that. You can go and read Gibbon, if you wish, pick up on that. But here we have a consistent destruction of life form. We're getting a consistent destruction of the amount of atmosphere, a consistent destruction, then, of the amount of mobility which can be entertained here on this sphere. All right, so there are other worlds. So we can start it all over again. In what kind of a condition? I'd like one of you actually to believe that all in a moment he could synthesize all of the know-how necessary to make and take care of a social order in a moment. You won't do it. That's because it's agreement. It's agreement. It's agreement plotted against time. All right, so our battle cry could be, save the stadium. So there is a point to it, then. It's a good stadium. Nothing wrong with it. When you were younger, medicine had about one specific, aspirin, cure headache. It's now got about 20. That's an interesting advance, isn't it? 50 years ago, there wasn't such a thing as paved street. When you had a house, it was normally completely blanketed in dust. When you walked in from the outside, you had to take off big, heavy, and mud-covered boots. When you wanted a fire in your house, you had to cut down a lot of trees. In other words, there was a tremendous effort just in the basis of supporting existence. Now, we've come up to a period right now where there's enough leisure to actually resolve some of the problems of beingness. There wasn't enough leisure before. That's the only real reason they weren't solved. It wasn't that people weren't bright enough. It's the fact they weren't solved by too much pressure in other quarters. You start putting out a lot of physical effort in various directions, and you cease to put out very much contemplation. It takes a certain amount of contemplation, serenity, to come up to such a point. What we're doing right now is bought by the leisure, as bought because of leisure. This leisure is bought by, actually, our own labors. Your labors. My labors. No matter what you may think of it, you get yourself on an e-meter. Look it over. How much did you personally contribute to the social order which you are now existing in? How much did you contribute? You contributed an awful lot, believe me. I don't care whether it was getting shot or shooting somebody at the Battle of Kings Mountain or whether or not it was running that darn blacksmith shop that shooed horses all that time back there in 1810 in Kentucky. Or I don't care what it was, whether you were over in Europe working this way and that, you have a tremendous contribution up the line. Now, there's one thing you can run on a Thetan which is quite interesting. Putting something there so he will have something when he comes back. Just ask him to get the idea of moving out of his body and then coming back and finding nothing if you want to make him sick. He gets real sick. He gets really upset. So you ask him to get the idea of putting something there, then moving out of his body, then coming back and finding the something there. This is the way he is surviving. It is a matter of interest. It's all very well to say, well, we can all survive, so there really isn't any point in it. There isn't any point in furthering our survival. There's a point known as interest. You can either be interested in surviving or not. I'd hate to be bored again for a few thousand years. Now, our goal then is definitely a social goal, and we arrive at that social goal by picking out of the social confusion the factors which depress the society to an unworkable state. That's a social goal. Now, what's an individual goal? Well, let's pick those factors out of the individual and get him to shift his mind concerning certain factors to a point where he can continue to thrive as an individual. Now, instead of survive, let's use the word thrive, and we will see a vast difference right there. Now, what is the necromancy, then, by which you, an auditor, can actually pick a person up to a point where he's not just surviving, because he's doing that anyway, to a point where he's thriving? Well, he has made up a whole lot of postulates and a lot of bric-a-brac and a terrific dependence, which are unnecessary. You will swear, halfway through universe processing, that if you continued the process on the pre-clear, you would wind up with a murderous maniac. You would swear that this would be the case. Well, you say, all right, get some more places where your mother'd be safe. Now, some more places where your mother'd be safe. Oh, she'd be safe at the bottom of a lime pit. Yeah, she'd be safe in the belly of a snake. And so on. And look, it looks at first glance then, and if we didn't have such processes, it would look then that any return to sanity or any pull out of the pit of slavery would be immediately into a revolting, mad, angry, I am the only one state. This would be obvious, you see. So halfway through, it does become obvious. So a therapy which almost worked would tend to bring about the conclusion that any therapy would only produce a dangerous individual who would destroy the social order. That's real cute. That's one for you to remember because you're going to be challenged on this point by the public. The therapy which almost works will simply put up a guy into a relatively murderous frame of mind because you've just now given him some idea that he might be able to get even with all of his enemies. His main goal in getting up at all, he feels, immediately after he gets out of apathy, his immediate goal is to kill off everybody, kill off everything, to be the only life unit in the whole universe. And he would tell you at this point that there is really only one aberrative thing, and that is association with other life forms. That's what did it all. He's certain of this if he's certain of nothing. But do you know that if you run universe processing on an individual, you run it well, where's Mother's universe? Well, you get him through this point of taking a lime pit and she's safe being ground up in machines, so forth. Well, she's safe right where she is. Yeah, she's safe around there, I guess. Funny thing here, I don't know, she seems to have moved off someplace. I'm sitting here and she's sitting over there. What's all this about? Find some more place where she's... Well, she's safe right where she is. I don't care about her, the devil with her. Well, let's see what else we can get done around here. You know, just a total lack of interest as far as Mama's concerned. Well, if we run out making a clinical test of the thing, if we ran out a great number of individuals, one after the other, if we ran out a great number of individuals in even past lives, we would find ourselves, of course, if it were true that he was only going to be a murderous individual when you finished up, we'd find ourselves, of course, with a fellow who now had no moral responsibility for the social order and who was now at liberty to go out and kill and maim and burn at will. Only that isn't the guy we find. We run out all kinds of universes. We start cleaning him up. The next thing you know, it's been years since he stopped on the street to pat a dog on the head. And he walks out there and you find him doing this. If you were to call it to his attention, he would be quite astonished that he considered this odd. Dogs are nice. There's nothing wrong with dogs. Dogs aren't dangerous. So a man's being dangerous to his environment is a very temporary state which is brought about by the threat of the environment against the man. He's merely duplicating the fact that the environment has challenged those forms which he himself has elected should survive. The environment has so thoroughly challenged these forms that he believes his only state of beingness should be to be very dangerous to his environment. Now, for instance, I've been through all this on basis of viewpoint processing, universe processing, and so forth a long time ago. Not too long ago, but long enough ago. I'm quite able as a writer. I can always make the coffee and cakes in this direction, even more than with the HAS. If these processes produced a state of maniacal fury or a state of mind whereby we must cancel out all of existence, do you think I would be sitting here teaching you how to do this? I sure wouldn't. The other test that one can make of such a thing is, why is it that an individual really gets mad in the first place? You can trace this very carefully. But do you know that he tried to help something and help it and help it, and damned if it had be helped. And he finally got furious with it. Well, if he can't help it, he'll knock it off.